glory gathered by the crystal sea. I was lost, but Jesus found me, found the sheep that went astray. Through his loving arms around me, drew me back into his way. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. I was bruised, but Jesus healed me. Fame was I from many a fall. Sight was gone and fears possessed me, but he freed me from them all. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea. Days of darkness still come o'er me, sorrow's path I've often tread, but the Savior still is with me, by his hand I'm safely led. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. Sing it with the saints in glory, gathered by the crystal sea.
Amen.
Let's remain standing for prayer, and as we look to the Lord this morning for his leadership and guidance in our service, and seek his blessings upon our individual lives, I'm going to ask Brother Raul, if he will, to lead us in our prayer. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to welcome all of you to our service this morning. Glad that you're here. And one announcement that's foremost on our mind, I guess, is the fact that Gene and Barbara Rice got back from their vacation trip down in Mexico, but he got a telephone call and called me at 10 o'clock last night. Barbara did. They got a telephone call that his brother in San Antonio, Texas, died last night at 9:30. And so they're making arrangements to make arrangements as soon as they could get out, get a flight, and go back down there to San Antonio. So be in prayer for them. That's, I think his brother was only 64 years old. Not too old to die, I guess. But anyway, be in prayer for them. His brother was a Christian and knows the Lord. So he's with the Lord today. His first Sunday in glory. Think of that. And we have others that are sick, others that are absent, some that are still on vacation. We're glad to have Brother David back today with us here and get a good report from him. He was in Colorado, visited his mother up there. Tells me she's doing well. I'll let him talk about that if he wants to. But we're glad that you're here. Oh boy, your elbow hit the wrong button, didn't it? Yeah. Anyway, let's sing another good song here.
I had a great time visiting my family in Denver. We got like a foot of snow while I was there, and it kind of hailed, and we had all kind of weather. It was pretty good, and that, I guess they continue to have that. They had some tornadoes that touched down. Pretty strange weather, but it was good. I picked Cinta and Joy up last night at the airport up in LAX, and it's like 3 o'clock in the morning in Palau right now, so they're kind of, Joy just went to bed and Cinta's trying to walk around and do things, but they're pretty tired, so but they'll be here. But we all had a great time, and we praise God for that. It's good to see everybody, and hope everyone's doing well. I'm glad about the good reports that I've heard, and it's good to see everyone. Can we turn over to number 270? Number 270. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever. Speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. Walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Amen. Amen. We're going to turn to 228. Would you all rise, and we'll have our offering after this hymn. Number 228. Thank you.
on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown. Oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Amen.
Brother Bob, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Pray too for those that are ill. Pray for
Amen. We have two specials this morning. I'm going to ask Brother Johnny to come up here and get his over with. Amen. And then we're going to make room for Jackie and Roger to sing. I'd rather have you go first than them. They're a hard act to follow.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
You know, we're supposed to rejoice in our Lord.
Amen.
Give Him praise, honor, and glory at all times. But sometimes there are things that come in our life, and they bring sorrow, or trials and tribulations. But you know what? Don't feel alone. Not only is your Lord Jesus with you, but sometimes we need personal contact, personal people, human contact, you know. So when you're feeling down and out, just feel like there's nothing that's gonna happen for you, remember there's someone that loves you and there's someone that's continued to pray for you. For someone is praying for you, yes, someone is praying for you. So when you seem you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. Have the clouds around you gathered in the midst of your storm? Is your ship tossed and battered? Are you weary and worn? Don't lose hope. Someone's praying for you this very day. And peace be still is already on the way. For someone is praying for you. Yes, someone is praying for you. So when you seem you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. Now when it seems that you're praying till your strength is all gone and your tears fall like raindrops all the day long, oh, He cares and He knows just how much you can bear. He'll speak your name to someone in prayer. For someone is praying for you. Someone is praying for you. Now when you seem you're all alone and your heart will break in two, remember someone is praying for you. When you seem you're all alone, Oh, and your heart will break in two. Remember someone, oh, they're praying for you. Yes, they are. Yes, they are, Pastor. Don't give up, my friend. Don't give up. Praise God.
Hallelujah. All right. Thank you, Johnny. That must be a new one. I don't remember you singing that before. Good. And now here's our duet. They're going to dedicate this song to Wayne.
Wayne Fox.
Wayne Fox. Yeah. Some reason or other, he likes to hear you guys sing.
Uh-oh.
Stone deaf.
Yeah, he's quite deaf.
So sing now.
I don't know about tomorrow. I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from its sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry o'er the future, for I know what Jesus said. And today I'll walk beside him, for he knows what is ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. Every step is getting brighter as the golden stairs I climb. Every burden's getting lighter, for a cloud is silver light. There the one is always shining, there no tear will dim the eye. At the ending of a rainbow, where the mountains touch the sky, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. I don't know about tomorrow. It may bring me poverty, but the one who leads the sparrow is the one who stands by me. And the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but his presence goes before me, and I'm covered with his blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand,
but I know who holds my tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand.
Thank you.
Who would ever have known that 70 years ago this guy here would be over there in the sands of some lonely little Pacific island in a foxhole with bullets buzzing around his head. 70 years later, he's standing up here in the pulpit singing songs to the Lord. Shows you what God can do, isn't it? Yes, sir. All right. It's good to be here today, and I want to remind you about our service tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to meet here. My message is going to be from over there in the 24th and 25th chapters of Matthew. We're going to be talking about the Lord's return. Those three important questions, one of them is, when's Jesus coming back? When's Jesus going to come back? What's the sign of his coming? And we'll be talking about that in our service tonight. We're glad you're here today. And now I would like for you to open your Bibles with me to the book of Daniel. And we're going over to the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. I love to preach about Daniel. He's one of my favorite people in the Old Testament. And the words of our text today come from verse 23. The last half of that chapter, of that verse says, Daniel was taken up out of the den. I think we know that's a den of lions, don't we? Out of the den. And no manner of hurt was found upon him. And now look at the rest of that. Because he believed in his God. Isn't that wonderful? No manner of hurt was found upon him after he'd spent the night with the lions in the lion's den, because he believed in God. I'm sure that you all know the context of this statement about the prophet Daniel. But let's just check it out anyway, because I love reading and studying about that time in Israel's history. They had a king by the name of Darius that God had raised up and set over the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. Now, that kingdom of the Medes and the Persians was over there in the Middle East. Iran and Iraq, that neck of the woods. If you'll remember, back in 1935, the country over there, known as Persia, changed its name. And since 1935, it's been known as Iran. And it's still over there. And we still hear about it every once in a while in the news, don't we? Now, King Darius was pretty organized. He was the chief gyrasticutor over the whole kingdom. But he divided it up. He shared the responsibility with 120 princes. So he divided it up into parcels. And he gave these men whom he trusted jurisdiction over these 120 provinces. Also, over them, we had three presidents. And of those three presidents, Daniel was one of them. In fact, he was number one of the one, two, threes. He was the chief of the three presidents. And Can you imagine? Those people were jealous of Daniel and the position that he held in the kingdom. There might have been a little racial prejudice there too, because he was a Jew. And he'd been over there for a long time. Remember, he'd been taken over there when Nebuchadnezzar was running the Babylonian Empire. And he'd been around the palace. He was in the politics of the country. They didn't like it. They were jealous. So they conspired against him. Let's get rid of him. They began to examine his life. Couldn't find anything wrong with the guy. They checked all of his books and they were in order. He'd not embezzled the company. He hadn't done anything wrong. No error, no fault could be found in him. He hadn't taken any bribes. Nothing like that. So they got together and said, look, if we're going to find out anything bad about this guy, we're not going to do it by looking at his person and his ability to administrate the kingdom. We're going to have to get into his private life. Let's check it out. So that's what they did. They began to check his background and see if he'd ever done anything bad against his God. They were after his religion. They didn't like it either. And they found that he was without fault. It was kind of like it is today, I guess. You go out here on the street, you see some young kid, and you ask him, hey, fella, why aren't you in school? I was, but I got expelled. Expelled? What in the world did you do? Did you take a gun to school and threaten to shoot somebody? Did they catch you smoking dope? He said, no. I took my Bible. I took my Bible to school and I got kicked out of school. So if they're going to find a flaw in Daniel's character, they're going to have to manufacture something. They're going to have to invent something. So they went to King Darius with a plan. They're going to flatter him, flatter his ego. They say to him, King Darius, establish a royal decree and make a firm decree that cannot be changed, modified, or altered. That anyone in the kingdom who asks a petition of any god or man, except you, of course, for 30 days, shall be cast into the den of lions. Oh, that's so nice of you guys. I'll do it. So he did. He did. He fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Daniel knew about it. It didn't fluster him. He didn't get all shook up and excited about the fact that he couldn't pray for 30 days to anybody but the king. So what did he do? He just calmly went back to his house. I suppose it was summertime and the windows were open for ventilation. They were open on the side of the house that faced Jerusalem, so that when Daniel prayed, he prayed toward Jerusalem. That's what God had told him to do. So he knelt down in front of an open window of all things, in plain sight of anybody that might be watching. And he prayed. The Bible says he gave thanks before his God and made supplication. Who's outside the window across the street looking up here at him? Guess. The conspirators were. They saw him. They caught him in the act. They went immediately to the king with their accusation. King Darius, we caught Daniel praying to God. Remember the rules. Nobody asks a petition of any god or man except you for 30 days. So they had Daniel, the first president, arrested. He pleaded guilty, apparently. And his punishment was to be cast into the den of lions. That, my friends, is a death sentence. What was his crime? Praying. They threw him into the den of lions. A stone was rolled over the mouth of the den. And King Darius had some wax put up there, and they sealed it. And he took his ring and stamped it in that wax on there, sealed it with his signet. And then the other presidents came, and they sealed it with their ring. And they went off and left Daniel in that den of lions. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? It kind of reminds us of the dead body of Jesus in Joseph's new tomb. They rolled a big stone over the door of that and sealed it with the signet ring too, didn't they? And set guards outside it. And Jesus spent 3 days and 3 nights in the presence of death. King Darius went back and spent a sleepless night. The Bible says he fasted. That means that about 9 or 10 o'clock, when his favorite TV show was over, he went to the refrigerator and got some ice cream and cookies and anything else he could find laying around there, you know, and come back and watched about 10 or 15 minutes of the news. By that time his bowl was empty, so he put it in the sink and went to bed. He fasted. That means that he didn't eat his ice cream that night. Spent a sleepless night. Early the next morning, he rose up early and went in haste to the den of lions. Here he comes. Man, he just threw a robe over his pajamas and ran down there to that lion's den. And with a lamentable voice, he cried out, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Is he able to do it? Poor Daniel. The king was joyfully surprised to hear an answer that came from within the den of lions. "O King, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And the king was exceeding glad, and he commanded that they roll that stone away and take Daniel up out of that lion's den. And then Daniel's accusers were brought with their wives and their little children. And those little boys, 4 or 5 years old, grabbed a hold of their mommy's skirts, holding on to her. Mommy, what are they going to do with us? Mommy says, shh. She wasn't about to tell them. Then those soldiers of the king came, and they took the man and they threw him into that den of lions. And before his body hit the bottom of the floor down there, those old lions had just broke his bones and tore him all to pieces. And the little kid looking down there, all, Daddy, Daddy. And then this old soldier came along and gave him and his mother a shove, and down they went into that den of lions. You see, sometimes innocent people get hurt along with the guilty. And they threw all of those guys and the women, their wives, and their children down into, boy, they had some of the best fed lions around there for a few days that you ever saw. Faith in God, going back to Daniel now, is the best protection that you can have. Faith is confidence. Faith is belief. And when you have faith in God, you can't have any more or any greater, because there's no one greater than God. Times have changed, but Daniel's God has not changed. Faith in God is still our highest wisdom and our truest safety. We cannot put our faith in humanity as a species, mankind, even though everybody seems to think that we are climbing higher and higher up the evolutionary ladder, and soon we're going to reach that happy ever after stage. Forget it. Don't you believe it. There are those who would have us put our faith and trust in our armies and in our atomic weapons and all such as that. Don't you believe it? We must rely upon God. Nowhere else can we find forgiveness and cleansing and guidance and keeping. Faith in God is what saves our immortal soul, because it has regenerating power. And Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And our trust and our faith is not safe in the hands of government and our politicians. No political administration can take the place of God. Daniel's faith was clear about God's wisdom and his sovereignty and his holiness and his faithfulness. He knew what he believed, and he knew why he believed it. He knew God from the book. He knew God from personal experience in his life. Someone who says, know it in your head, stow it in your heart, show it in your life, and sow it in the world. That'd make a good sermon, would it? Many people in Daniel's day were disloyal to God. It was a breakaway from the true faith that had caused Israel's calamity in the first place. I look about us today and I see a modern day breakaway from God, from his word, from his church. And that, I believe, is more responsible than anything else for all the troubles and tribulations that has come upon our nation and the other nations of the earth, even down to the climate change. That's in the hands of God. You've heard it said, dare to be a Daniel. Dare to stand alone. Dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Yes, the king made a decree depriving him of his religious freedom, forbidding him to pray, prohibiting Bible reading, and promoting religious persecution. And you can find that even in our country today to a certain extent. That did not bother Daniel because he believed in his God. To him, death was better than compromise. He would be true to God whatever the consequences were. His was not just an outward profession, but an inward conversion. Let me ask a question. Why didn't those lions eat Daniel? He says, my God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths. You can't bite very hard with a closed mouth. God intervened in a miraculous way. It's like the Israelites crossing the Red Sea on dry ground. It's like that bush that burned at Sinai and wasn't consumed. A miracle. It's like water from a smitten rock. It's like the three Hebrew children being cast into a burning fiery furnace and being released without the smoke or the smell of smoke and fire upon the bodies. It's like Jonah being swallowed by a whale, spending 3 days and three nights alive in its belly, then getting spit out. It's like Elijah, who took a chariot ride into heaven without dying. And a whole lot of others. It was a miracle. Why wasn't some manner of hurt found upon him? All of these lions, I don't know how many there were, but their mouths were shut, but they still had big old claws out here. And I wonder what it was that kept them from coming up there, and the old lion looking Daniel in the eyes and saying, I can't bite you, but I can sure scratch you. They didn't even scratch him. God did not keep Daniel from being cast into the den of lions, but he saved him while he was in it. And he brought him through it with no hurt found on him. God does not always save us from, but he always saves us in and brings us through. Remember that. But what about those Christians who are not delivered? This is hard for you to imagine, but I'm going to throw it out at you anyway and let it land where it will. Maybe it'll find fertile soil. It's almost 12 noon. Here we are, Chula Vista, California, USA, sitting here in the pews of the Bible Baptist Church. In some other countries today, there are congregations like us who are gathered together worshiping God, reading His Word, praying, singing songs, and things like that. And in through those doors come a bunch of Muslim men, terrorists, with their weapons in their hands, their guns are loaded. And they take a look at the congregation sitting here as we are today, and they open fire. And they just start shooting. Everybody that's in that church auditorium there, they're falling down dead with bullet holes in their bodies. Then they take out their knives and they come over and they see somebody here that's still gasping for breath, and they reach down with those knives and they cut their throats. And then when they leave everybody in the church dead corpses, and then they throw a can of gas out there and strike a match and burn their church down and their bodies in it. That's going on right now as I speak. And the only crime that they committed was being a Christian and believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and God the Son, that He died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose from the grave the third day, and He's coming again. That's their crime. What's God doing about it? As they die, He takes their souls to heaven. Why didn't God step in and stop it? I don't know. Why does He let us have our freedoms and do what we do, and then they get killed for doing the same thing? I don't know. But there's a high form of protection. John wrote in Revelation chapter 20, he said when he got to heaven, he said, I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. He saw John the Baptist, because old Herod had cut his head off, you'll remember, and served it in a platter. Saw James. He'd had his head cut off. Saw the Apostle Paul, because they cut his head off when he was at Rome. John said, I saw the souls of those that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. When Daniel came out of that den of lions, the king testified that there was no manner of hurt found on him because he believed in his God. King Darius was absolutely and firmly convinced that Daniel's God was the only true God who ruled over everything. And he was converted to this true God. Here's what he wrote. This is his written testimony, recorded and preserved for us in the Bible, the very word of God, this proclamation. In verse 25, he says, "Peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." That's the testimony of a man who was converted when he saw what God did for the prophet Daniel. And we never know what great thing may come of it when we stand firm in our faith, despite temptations, despite persecutions, despite adversity. Somebody's liable to see us and be saved as a result of it. The eyes of men are upon us, and if we are true to our faith, true to our God, God will bless our witness for him, and in the end, it will be said even of us, no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for what we've learned once again, going over familiar territory, I'm sure, to many of us, because we've all at one time or another heard about Daniel in the den of lions. And Lord, we know that what happened, and we rejoice in it. Oh, it's brand new all over again to us. And we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your long-suffering, your patience with us. Lord, we haven't been in the lion's den for a while. Maybe some are. We don't know what's happening in every life. But we know that Daniel's God is still alive. And we know that you're still in the delivering business. So today we come to you with whatever problem we have, whether we're facing it now or whether we expect it to come tomorrow. We place our faith, our trust, our confidence, our hope in you, because you are our God. If there's one here today in this congregation that does not know Christ as their personal Savior, let today be the day when they will step out and come down the aisle and make their profession of faith in him. If there are those today among us that are looking for a church home, where a place where they can work and worship and serve and sing and praise the Lord, we pray that they might come and join with us today, so that our worship may go up into your nostrils as a sweet-smelling savor every time that we meet together. Lord, smell of us. We praise you for being our God. Have your will and way in us as we submit ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing a verse of invitation.
494.
494. short invitation this morning. Will you come? Will you come today? Let Jesus come into your heart. As we're dismissed in prayer, Brother Roger Delisle, will you lead us, please, as we pray?